A very important story today. A whistleblower who worked in the Education Authority has told The Nolan Show he was told to mislead the public as to when applications were received by the government body. These were applications so that children with disabilities could be given help and support to be able to go to school like everybody else. The Education Authority has a responsibility to deal with those applications within a specific time period. It's a number of weeks. But what you're about to hear today from a member of staff who claims he was told to pretend the authority had not received the applications and to put them to the side. In a nutshell, that meant that some of our most vulnerable children in Northern Ireland were being left on a pile and their parents misled. This is a shocking story this morning. You will hear this whistleblower describe the chaos within the Education Authority as he saw it when he worked there, of how files about children's lives were being lost, about how parents were being ignored when they were frantically ringing day after day asking for help. And remember who is at the heart of this story: children with disabilities. I began by asking Paul, it's not his real name, what his job was.
So I only worked there in November of last year. I was only for a short period of 2 months. But my job was to write up statements. So for children, so a statement would be children who need a special, for special education, need a statement so they can get extra support.
So you were part of the machine within the Education Authority processing applications from the very people we're talking about, parents with who have children with special needs.
Yeah. And the worst part of it, we'd get letters in, so like an application in. And if I went to stamp a letter, I'd get in trouble because the stamp would have a date. And when you got a letter, you only got, say, I think it was 6 weeks or 3 months. I'm not 100% sure which one it was. But we were told not to stamp it because it wouldn't be done in time. So we would leave these letters, these applications that needed to be done as soon as possible. We had to leave them to the side. And so that means it would take actually longer than the parents or schools were told, because we wouldn't even start the process maybe for a few weeks or a month.
Hold on a minute. This is very serious. You're telling me, and be careful about what you're saying, make sure it's right and accurate.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that you, as an employee of the Education Authority, were being instructed to leave applications at the side.
Yeah, 100%.
And not stamp them so that people were not being told within the required timeline.
Yeah. And I have to say as well, it's because it's so understaffed and it's such a weird cycle of how it's done in the company. Like, you'd have to, one thing would go to me, then it would go to someone else, then it would go to me again, and go to someone else, and me, then someone else. And it was something that could be done by one person or two people. So you're waiting like weeks just to get one thing, just to type a sentence in, and then it go to somebody else. And then you wait a couple of weeks to get it back, type another sentence in.
This is a weird process. This is some of the most vulnerable children in our country we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's who these forms relate to.
And I would get some calls from parents. And there was one, especially the pure caller said that their file went missing. And I had one caller, he would ring in every single day. And I would say, where's this file? I've only started here, where's this file? Nobody would know. And then he would just say, oh, you can't call back tomorrow. Next day, he'd call, he'd always get through to me. And I was like, oh, no, it's not again. Because I didn't know. And there was a desk next to me, and there was like 100 files on it, on the floor, around it. And they were a mess. They were like, these files are so old. Like, they were just falling apart. And you were looking around for numbers, and the whole place was a mess. And file couldn't be found. And then finally, more like 6 weeks in this man ringing every day, they got through to a school, and the school had to send the old file out because they'd lost the file.
We've spoken to a parent in recent days, and they lost his daughter's file. Are you telling me that files going missing was frequent?
Well, I was only there for a short time, and there was at least one or two files went missing. Yeah,
I want
and
you
it's
to
because sometimes if a child moves, say, from one area to another area, the file has to move to that board, and they can just be lost in process, or it can be lost just sitting in a room because to be honest, there was no room for the files. The files were like in around the room in cabinets, and there was no room. They were just falling out. There was just no room to put them.
And meanwhile, parents think that the Education Authority are working in a professional way to process as quickly as possible and as competently as possible their children's safety, security and educational future.
Yeah, I can't see how that can happen when at the most you had four people, maybe even three people in a downstairs room with files upon files upon files sitting behind them. And it was impossible for them to get through. Like, they would have to just sit in files there. We would take more files down to them and more files down to them. And there was no real order. Like, some child might have needed it next week. Some child might need it next year. It was not put in an order of, oh, this child needs it first. It was all stacked and stacked and stacked. And it was just too much work for some people.
Come on, please tell me you're exaggerating. Please tell me this is not what's happening behind those brick walls of the Education Authority.
Well, I can only speak for the one I was in, and it was definitely too much. People working there all said, oh, it should be done this way or the way it's done. Like, you know, their hands are tied. I'm not having a go at anyone who works there. And everyone who works there works really, really, really hard. And like, they get so many phone calls and their hands are tied. So I know my hands are tied. You can only do as much as you can do when you're there. But the way it's run and the leadership and the amount of people working for such, the amount of letters come in, the amount of work that needs to be done for a team of maybe 12. 16.
You told my team that sometimes a form needing a simple signature would wait weeks. A child would wait weeks.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that? Explain that to me.
You'd wait for like letters from doctors and letters from nurses, letters from social workers. So you needed a lot of different information coming in to sign off. So a lot of the time it is waiting for a doctor or it is waiting for a social worker. It's not always just waiting on the education board. So when you get all the letters in, all the proof, It'd be written up, but then it'd be sent down to be read over and signed. But those ones who are waiting to be read over and signed, there was so many of them that you knew you had something just ready, waiting to be signed, and you knew you were waiting days or weeks about to be signed because they have so much. And you know yourself, it's not as easy reading through a big, massive to make sure there's no mistakes. So it is a long process. But I think maybe more staff would have been needed to help that process, because the time you read through the statements, the time you get all the paperwork in, it is a long process.
Okay. So you worked in the Education Authority in an office somewhere in Northern Ireland.
Yes.
You have a unique opportunity this morning to shine a light on what the public cannot see behind those brick walls. Describe the room where children's lives are being written up. What does it actually look like when you describe these floors, these folders all over the place? Describe what it looks like.
There's like four or five different rooms. So the room, we'd walk into a room and around it would be like a really old, a small room, really old looking, like say a library, but instead of books, it's these big massive thick files. And the thick files are in like old brown envelopes. And sometimes we stuck together, the elastic bands around them because they're falling apart. There was no room to put the files, so a lot of desks underneath the desk would have big files, cobwebs on them. They're sitting there a lot long.
Are they in any type of order?
They would be in numbered order. Obviously, the numbers would have to be, like, say it was 100 to 200. The next one might be 500, 600, or because it's sort of.
But why did you say to me, earlier that these things were not prioritised in terms of a child's need? What did you mean by that?
Well, I only know a certain extent, but I know when I'd fill in something, I would just send it down for them to sign it. So I know they weren't going by, all right, well, what do they need? Every child was sort of the same in that sense, where it's just a statement given down to sign. There's no like, oh, this statement is more important than this statement. So in a sense, each child was treated equally in that way. But obviously, some children might have needed it a lot sooner because obviously the application, some people would apply in the summer for September and that wouldn't be enough time because, as I said, they need a certain amount of months.
You've described earlier parents ringing you day after day after day and sometimes the files would be lost. Sometimes nothing had been done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was one file in particular I remember, and he was ringing, and he would ring every single day. And it was around November. I think his child still hadn't even gone to school, and this was like November time. And he was ringing every single day for child's going to another school, and every day. And to be honest, he had a patience of the state, this man, because he never once shouted, but you could just hear the disappointment in his voice. And every single day I had to tell him the same thing, that, oh, we're looking for it, so I'll ring you back when we find it and stuff. But this went on for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Was he being told the truth?
Well, yeah, because we couldn't find it. Like, we were told it was in a different office, and we rang that office, and they were told it was in our office, so nobody knew where it was.
I want you to go over, because it's very important, I want you to explain to me one more time what you're claiming you were told to do in terms of not stamping these files, and tell me why this is important.
Yeah, I think that was probably the worst thing. So we would get a file in, or an application in, and if I was to stamp it, I was told, no, you don't stamp that, because you only have, I think it's 6 weeks, 12 weeks, I'm not 100% sure what time it is.
But you had a certain amount of weeks to deal with a child's case.
Yeah, to have it processed and have it going.
And you were being told not to stamp it for what reason?
Because we wouldn't have the time to do it in that time.
And in not stamping the file, that would then appear like you had not received it. Is that it?
Yeah. So then when we stamp it, say, 2 weeks later or a week later, then we would say, oh, no, we did do it in the time, because there's the date we stamped it.
But you're essentially making an accusation that the Education Authority is misleading parents and betraying the trust that ultimately they should have in children. These are children with special needs, and you're telling me categorically that there was an instruction given to you within the Education Authority to not stamp files and therefore mislead parents as to when you received them.
Yeah. Sounds horrible, and I don't want to put myself in that, but that was the case, and that's because there were so many files that they wanted to get the ones they already had done first, and they didn't want to get in trouble of overgoing, like they said, the 6 weeks. So they wanted to make it say, and it's because they were swamped with so many files that maybe they wouldn't do that if it was given more time to sort it out, but that it sort of had to be done, and that's what they were doing, because they had too much work, too much files coming in.
I find your testimony this morning astonishing. Did you see or witness other staff members being told not to stamp those files? Like, was that a general instruction or just an instruction made to you?
I believe that was a general instruction. I started at the same time as two or three other people, and we just made sure we had to get every time we could post, we'd stamp post and separate the posts. Like, say you were doing one district and you're doing another district, so you'd be given files for a certain area, so you get a certain amount of schools and spread it out. So when we were stamping it, we just made sure we didn't stamp the application.
And did you actually witness other staff being told this as well?
Yeah.
Who gave the instruction?
Just the people who were sort of hired, who've been there longer.
What is the culture like within the Education Authority? Can parents trust it?
Yeah, the people working there, and there's some people working there who are really, really, really doing as best they can, and people who really are trying. Like, I'm not having a good people who work there, because people do really try hard, and there's certain people who were excellent. But the thing is, it was people like me who were put in there from recruiting agencies, not much training, just given stuff, told what to do, you just do what you do. It was like a machine, and it wasn't a well-oiled machine, it was like an old machine, and you were looking at it thinking, this doesn't make sense, you can do this much quicker. Why is it going from here to here to here to here? When it could be in one place and we can be sorting each file out. You know, I think in general it just needs to be run better, it needs to be done better, it needs to be more people in the bottom, in the room that was really in charge of reading through them and signing them off. For three or four people doing that one job, when you have hundreds and hundreds of files, thousands of files probably, just wasn't enough.
You know, the thought of a disabled child in Northern Ireland who wants to go to school, and all the challenges that child will be faced with in life, and the thought of the accusation that you're making this morning that the Education Authority is misleading their parents and therefore betraying the trust of that child, It is shocking, and this program will be investigating this big time. Well, we can get your reaction to this today. 03030 80 55 55. The Education Authority themselves have responded to this investigation. Sarah Long, who's the Chief Executive of the Education Authority, has said the following: "We are committed to the highest standards of openness and accountability in the delivery of our services. We actively encourage and welcome feedback from members of staff, parents and schools. I take the matters raised by a former EA staff member extremely seriously. I would encourage him to contact EA or speak with me directly about these allegations as soon as possible. Serious concerns can also be raised through our whistleblowing process so that these issues can be properly investigated." You're going to hear in a moment from some parents who are at the other side of that system, who thought that they were being treated properly with respect, and then they started to smell a rat because there were delays or files were being lost or their children ultimately were not able to get to school, were not treated with respect and dignity. Listening to that interview is the Children's Commissioner, Kula Yasuma. What's your reaction to that, Kula?
It's very difficult to react to that. What are incredibly concerning allegations on so many levels. The new Chief Executive of the Education Authority, Sarah Long, is quite right. This has to go. These allegations have to go into a formal process, and there needs to be a proper investigation where the children's files are being just left randomly over floors, whether they're not being date stamped in order to avoid the clock to start ticking on responses. I'm not going to make a comment until, we need assurances that these things are not happen. But Stephen, to be honest, the delays in the system around special educational needs are huge. So I'm not surprised to hear that it's a little bit all over the place, because parents are ringing us and they're ringing other advice services and saying, why has it taken so long? And you're going to hear from other parents that you have spoken to who are saying it's taken too long. My files are getting lost. I'm not getting the information. I'm being promised one thing and being given another thing. They have gone from five systems to one and they're still struggling. I'm not giving them excuses. I'm just saying where the blocks are. There is an issue of not enough money. But at the end of the day, this is about, as you've said, compassion. These are about children. And I cannot for the life of me work out why we're running around in September saying, oh my goodness, we haven't got everything that a child needs to start school. It's not a surprise that September is the beginning of the school year. It's not a
surprise.
They
set up a helpline on the day children were supposed to be coming back to school about their delays, on the very day after the Nolan Show says, why have these children not been sorted?
Stephen,
that's when they set up a helpline.
I'm a bit split about the helpline. So I'm glad they set up a helpline on a Sunday, the day before school started. I'm glad that that they were there to be able to respond. My issue with the helpline is, why do parents need to ring a helpline when the EA knows who these children are? Some of these children were born with the conditions that they have, were born with their special educational needs. It's not a surprise that they needed a service in place for September, the beginning of September. Little children who are starting big school, children who are going to post-primary school, the summer should have been spent being so excited, trying on their new uniform. And they're not, and they still to this day, halfway through the first week, don't know what's going to happen to them. I cannot. That is an experience that child will never have again.
Exactly.
I am heartbroken about them. Now, me being heartbroken doesn't help anybody. So it's really important that parents hear that there are systems in place to try and put this right. I do believe Sarah Long when she says they're working very hard to try and put it right. She's only just become the chief executive. But what people like us are doing, and I'm happy to talk further about this after we hear your next piece, is that my office is doing a review of how they're doing business so we can get into the minutiae and the detail of where this needs to be fixed. But at the same time, we are working, along with other advice services, working child at a time to make sure that no child doesn't get their right to education in a timely manner. And that's really important that your listeners, particularly parents and children, know that their commissioner is working really, really hard, and there are a number of services that are there to support them as individuals, because this cannot be allowed to continue.
This is not just about, and there's a big question around resources in Northern
Huge.
Ireland, and how much money and resource the Education Authority is being given. But another part of this story is about a fundamental word, trust.
And respect.
Trust. Mm. All right. So if parents in this country of vulnerable children are actually being, or were being, misled. So they're sending in an application and there is a little scheme in place. Pretend we haven't got that. Like, that is a fundamental breach of trust. And what I would say to Sarah Long this morning, Sarah, you only recently became chief executive of the Education Authority. I believe it was earlier this year.
April, yeah.
April this year. So this accusation happened last year. This person was
in
working
November, yeah, he said,
in November of last year. So this predates your time, Sarah. I am asking you, Sarah, would you please come on to the public domain. You've got an open platform in this show, and reassure the public what you are going to do about this, because parents of those children surely need to hear from you, the chief executive, telling them that you will not tolerate them being misled or ignored ever again.
There's a trust issue, there's a respect, there's an issue about how do we respect our parents, and there's a transparency issue. If the reason they can't meet the deadlines that are set out in the special educational needs process, if the reason is because they don't have enough money, because they don't have enough resources, because their systems aren't in place, they need to be honest and transparent. These allegations are incredibly serious. We will be going back, my office will be going back to the EA and making sure that they investigate these. So I urge your whistleblower to contact my office so that we can introduce our own. We have a process for this sort of scenario. And Sarah's already said about whistleblowing. I do believe, having spoken with Sarah and my team have spoken with Sarah, that I do believe she wants to do the right thing. But we need to know, which is why we're doing a review, we need to know why this system is not working. Stephen, let me be honest with you. This is the thing in education. I said this to the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee when I was there. This is the issue in education that makes me the most concerned. Children with special educational needs are most vulnerable children who are not getting their right to education. And an authority that is seems to be trying to thwart that. And I know that, and I believe the whistleblower, I agree with him that people are trying to do their best, but it's not working for parents. It's not working for parents, and it's a shame that people like you and my office and organisations like the Children's Law Centre have to intervene before parents get their right. Parents of children with disabilities and special educational needs are exhausted with the fight. They are absolutely shattered, and we should not be making this harder for them. We should be making this easier for them, and we're not. We're making it incredibly difficult for them to get the best for their children.
And to all the political parties in Northern Ireland and the leadership within those parties and the household name politicians that we know about, look, I get it why you're talking about Brexit. I get it why you're talking about a government. But have you got a role to play here? Because let me again remind you about the people at the heart of this story. Children in Northern Ireland who already have sometimes a very tough struggle in life because they've been born with different disabilities where they have to fight that little bit harder to be treated equally in our society. And that very special moment that a parent will treasure, and a child should be able to enjoy for and have that special memory for their lifetime of going to school on the first day.
Yeah.
That's who's at the heart of this story. A child who has been told by their parents, look, don't you worry about your disability. You have as many rights as the rest of us. And meanwhile, we are learning this morning as to the chaos in the Education Authority, the lack of systems that were in it, the misleading of those parents. You know, I've heard from parents who they've been calling on a daily basis that authority, and no response. Like, how frustrating must that be? And you then, Kula, you've shared with me this morning before we came on air that children with special needs, they are what, the majority quota of those people on free school meals?
There's twice as many children with special educational needs. So children without special educational needs, about 25% of them are on free school meals. Children with, and these are DA figures, and I thought I'd bought the actual figure, over 40% of them are on free school meals. So we know, and that's often because both parents can't work if there are two parents in the house. If there's only one parent, then they have to stay at home to meet their child's educational, to look after their child if they've got special educational needs. So we know children with SEN are more likely to be poorer than children without, living in families on a low income. And that's another disadvantage that we're putting on them.
So we're talking about some of the poorest, most vulnerable children in our community.
We absolutely are.
And their parents not being able to get their child into school on day one.
And certainly not being able, and another issue that we know both the DE and the EA are working on is some children with SEN not even being able to access a full-time timetable.